Revelation chapter 21. I want to finish out our thought here as we're looking at this here today. Revelation chapter 21. Remind you again, verses 1 through 3, or actually verses 1 through 4, to kind of set a context for us moving into the rest of the chapter. It says in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." By the way, that's what's going to make it seem like heaven, you know, is God's presence, not the city itself. And again, I'm emphasizing that. Without God and his people in this city, it's just going to be another golden city. All right. So again, we got to get focused off of the city, just like so many times we got to get our focus off of a building that the church meets in today. Notice again, God himself will be with them and be their God. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Drop down to verse 9 then. As we pick up the account here, it says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues." Of course, remember that was back in chapter 15 and 16. We also see that this was announced by one of these angels in chapter 17 as the judgment of Babylon. So again, we see one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. So as they were sent to pour out God's judgment and his wrath, these angels were also sent to give a message of hope to those who were suffering and so on. Notice, "And talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." And again, we'll look at the rest of this from then on. But notice again, the announcement is made here in verse 9. So notice the focus now goes from specific, or generally, I should say, the new heaven and a new earth, now specifically to the new Jerusalem. There it says, again, one of these angels says, "Come hither, I will show thee," notice, "not the city, but the bride." This is why I'm emphasizing. Revelation 21 is about the church of the firstborn, not a glorious city. It just happens to be this is where God the Son has prepared for the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ. So again, the gathering of the church is what's focused on here, not the city. So again, so many times we get focused on the place rather than the people, God himself and his people that are going to be there. Notice again, it says here, "I'm going to show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." So as we think about this, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. I want you to go back to chapter 19. In this context, I want to remind you here of verse 6 through 9. "So I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him." Notice, it's to him. The focus is on the bridegroom, not on the bride. Notice, "to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come." Now, in our culture, I understand that the bride is the main focus. Biblically, weddings, in fact, even the Israelite culture, the Jewish culture, the bridegroom was the focus. You notice here in this case, that's why we see this as it's emphasized. It's the marriage of the Lamb that has come. "And his wife hath made herself ready." The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the focus at this time. It says, "To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Notice again, we see that emphasized. These are true sayings. These are sayings that will be fulfilled. So back in chapter 21, again, it says, "He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain." This is similar to Ezekiel 40. It's another reference in comparison. So again, we see Old Testament references, Old Testament prophecies referenced here in the book of Revelation time and time again. So that's what helps us have understanding of what he's teaching here. And notice, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. You notice here it says that the city and the bride, and as the emphasis is here, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious. Notice her light, because of the bride, the Lamb's wife, in the city, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And let me remind you, this clear as crystal and the jasper stone was mentioned as far as God is concerned back in Revelation chapter 4. Hold your place here. I want you to see something in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to see here again, I'm going to show you some references, that the emphasis is not on the city itself, but on the inhabitants of the city. And with that said, I want you to show you something here and remind you of some wording here as far as the church in regard to this holy city, Jerusalem. Ephesians chapter 5, notice verse 23, and let's just look at the whole context, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So Jesus Christ is the one who tells us what we're supposed to do. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Notice it says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. All right, so this is the preparation process that the Lord Jesus Christ is taking to prepare the church of the firstborn, to become his bride. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, notice this, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Then notice here verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Back in Revelation 21, we notice again that the church and the great city is going to have the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious. So you notice here the church is going to be glorious in its appearance. And that's exactly what we saw back in Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus Christ wants to present the church unto himself a what? A glorious church. And if you compare other passages, Daniel 12 and other places tell us that the righteous will shine as the stars forever. So again, we see here this glory that we're going to experience. And let me remind you, the Bible says very clearly, we are going to be like Christ, for we're going to see him as he is. All right, with that said, you notice again at the end of verse 11, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. All right, so we see here again this reference to something that is clear as crystal. As we continue on through this description then of the city, notice it says here in verse 12, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. These are, I believe, honorary guards, as we would call them in our culture, or in the British culture at least. But notice, and the gates 12 angels, the names written thereon were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. I want to break this down into a couple of things here. Notice, first of all, Isaiah 26. Notice here this wall for protection and safety. And it's very interesting, some statements in the Old Testament in relation to the wall. The wall of Jerusalem and so on. Let me see the reference here. Isaiah 26 verses 1 through 4. Isaiah 26 verses 1 through 4. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. So notice here, even as we think about what we're seeing as far as the description in Revelation 21, these things are, yes, a literal city, but they also picture some things scripturally as well. Notice these walls. Notice salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. So these walls then picture salvation. And we'll see something here in a moment. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation shall keep, which keepeth the truth may enter in. Notice, we saw that as far as the judgment of the righteous nations and the goat nations. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Literally that name, the Lord Jehovah, is Jehovah. Two similar names that are emphasized together is everlasting strength. So again, we see here a reference to the walls. Notice with me also Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 18. I thought this was a very interesting cross-reference. So let me remind you, when we see Old Testament prophecies, there may be a near fulfillment, but then an ultimate long-term fulfillment. Isaiah 60, verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, which has not been true of Israel, of earthly Jerusalem, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls, notice, salvation and thy gates praise. Notice the walls picture not just protection and safety, but they also picture salvation. That's what, back in Revelation 21, verse 12, it says, it had a great wall and high. And notice, it had 12 gates, and the 12 angels are standing at the gates. One of the things I want to take note of again here, and I've shown you this before in another series, but notice it says, the names written on these gates, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11. I want for us to be reminded that Abraham was not looking for an earthly inheritance. He was not looking for land just in Palestine. And I want to remind you again, we months ago we had a lesson on the covenants of the Old Testament and how they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, okay, let me ask you. Who of the seed of David is seated on the throne today? There is a seed of David seated on the throne today, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of those Old Testament covenants. Notice me, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10, first of all. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So there were no permanent dwellings as far as Abraham is concerned. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, 12 in fact. Notice that, foundations plural. I believe this is significant. Which hath foundations plural, whose builder and maker is God. We look at Revelation 21, we find out it has 12 foundations. Drop down to verse 13, Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Why? Because there was no heavenly city that Abraham could experience on this earth. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Was Abraham in the land of promise? But it wasn't fully given to him, right? He was there, but it was not his. And notice even with that, they're seeking a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. It's the city that we're studying right here. So there are so many today that are teaching that Israel and the church are totally separate. They're totally separated. I do not believe replacement theology. I've been accused of that, but I do not believe replacement theology. I'm going to say it again. I do not believe replacement theology. The church does not replace Israel. But they are one. They become one as far as God's people. Israel is expanded with the new covenant. That's why I'm saying this. There are 12 gates, and notice the 12 tribes of the children of Israel there, representing the Old Testament tribes of Israel. Both are found in the city here. I don't know why people can't see this. Verse 13, on the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. There's a significance to this as well. You don't need to turn there. Let me read for you Luke 13. I just want to read for you quickly here. Luke 13, I've got the verse though, 29. Luke 13, there's a reason why God the Son mentions all four directions here. Because Jesus himself said when he was here on this earth, they shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And that's in the context where he's telling religious Jews, you're going to miss out on the kingdom, but they're going to come from all directions, indicating the Gentiles are going to be there. So again, we see on the east, three gates, on the north, three gates, on the south, three gates, and on the west, three gates. In fact, Ezekiel 48 talks about this as well. There's references to this. God always has had a plan for us Gentiles. We are not an afterthought. God has always had a plan. In fact, he wanted Israel to proclaim the message of Jehovah to the world. Verse 14 then. All right, so the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Again, we saw in Hebrews 11, foundations plural. So it has 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2. Here's why I say there's a literal city and also a spiritual application of this as far as the church is concerned. Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to notice this as far as the foundations of the apostle, the foundation of the apostle. Apostles, plural. Ephesians 2, and of course this is after the context where God has pulled down the middle wall of partition between Israel and the Gentiles. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. All right, so we're talking about a household. So that's what we're talking about as far as New Jerusalem. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now there are some who suggest that the prophets actually refer to the Old Testament. You notice here, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Notice, an holy temple. We don't need another temple. God said there's no temple needed in Jerusalem. And in fact, I'm doing a little reading on this off and on. I come across this. There have been several attempts over hundreds of years, the last several hundred years. There have been several attempts to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem. And there have been supernatural hindrances to that, earthquakes or whatever. I don't remember all this, the information on that, but literally, they have tried. It's not just a modern day thing. Well, this is a sign of the times because the Temple Institute is trying to rebuild the temple. They've been trying to do that for hundreds of years, and God has always canceled it out. You know why? Because that is an affront to God the Son, who is the final sacrifice. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So again, we see here, 12 foundations. So let me ask you, who is the 12th foundation? Who's the 12th foundation? All right, we've got a vote here for Matthias. There are people who will say, teachers, scholars, or whatever, who say that Peter got ahead of himself and named Matthias instead of the Apostle Paul. I don't believe so for several reasons. First of all, in Acts chapter 1, it says Matthias was numbered with, we saw that earlier, he was numbered with the 12. It's also interesting, in the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, it says that Jesus appeared to the 12, not the 11. That's interesting. Before he ascended back to heaven, it says, before the Apostle Paul was even saved, it says that Jesus appeared to the 12. Judas was already dead after the resurrection. Not only that, but Acts chapter 6, it says that the 12 called the people together. So again, we see very clearly Matthias is the one, and Paul himself calls himself an apostle born out of due time. So he was, literally as he calls himself, the apostle to the Gentiles. So I believe Matthias is the 12th one there. But again, the foundation of the apostles of the Lamb. Again, that goes back to Ephesians 2 and this spiritual temple that is being built. The church, the temple of God, which is the New Testament era temple. We don't need another temple in Jerusalem. Verse 15. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. Now, I want to pause here just a moment. As we head into more of the description of the city, I want to point out here, I often say this, and the more I study out Scripture, the more I see this is true. Satan always, always tries to have a counterfeit of God. So you look back in history, what were Satan's counterfeits in relation to New Jerusalem? Satan knew this city was there. I believe he saw it. So let me ask you, what are his counterfeits? Well, there's an indication here in the book of Revelation that there's a strong hatred that God has for the name Babylon. First of all, you think about Babel, the Tower of Babel. That was probably in Babylon in Genesis chapter 11. They were building a city and a tower to reach into heaven. They were building a worship center so that they did not have to worship God as a counterfeit of worshiping God. Also, it's very interesting in relation to Babylon. Sometimes it's called the Neo-Babylon, Babylonian Empire, under Nebuchadnezzar and his father. But it's very interesting. You're very familiar with this in Daniel 4, where it says that King Nebuchadnezzar was standing in his palace and he looked out over the city of Babylon that he built. Is this not Babylon for my glory? Well, of course, that's why he went to the pasture for 7 years, 7 seasons, because he had taken the glory that God deserved. You know, Satan always has his counterfeit. As we move in this description, notice, the city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, 12,000 furlongs, according to several references I've seen, is 1,500 miles. But I want to point out something as far as the wording here. It does not say that he measured a side. Notice it says here, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. This does not rule out that each side is 375 miles and not 1,500 miles. Notice there's indication that the wording here says that it's 1,500 miles total around the city. Regardless, we have a pretty large city here. It's very interesting to consider that. But notice it says the length and the breadth. All right, so it's square, four square, as we see here, symbolizing perfection. The city is going to be perfect. I don't care how good a contractor is, it cannot be absolutely perfect here on this earth. Some get more closer than others to it. But you notice here it says it's four square, the length, the breadth, and the height of it are equal. So it's probably 375 miles high as well as square. And it says he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, 12 times 12, by the way. You notice here there's an emphasis on 12 in this passage. This perfection, 12 gates, 12 angels, 12 tribes, 12 foundations, 12 apostles. You notice the emphasis of 12 in this passage. Notice 12,000 furlongs. And even the measurement of the wall, 144 cubits, 12 times 12. So again, we see this number 12 throughout this section of Scripture here. According to the measure of man, that is of the angel. So 144 cubits is 216 feet. That tells me that if the city is 375 feet high, tall, the height of it, that means it's 216 feet thick. That's some serious walls there. But again, remember, these walls represent salvation and the gates praise. It says in verse 18, the building of the wall of it was of jasper, clear as crystal. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. It says the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished, that means adorned or decorated, with all manner of precious stones. Now, what I want you to picture here with this, and this is why I emphasize so often, don't just have a reading assignment. Slow down and pay attention to what God is saying here. I want you to imagine this city that we're going to someday see. And again, it's the people, but imagine the place that Jesus Christ said he's prepared for us, these mansions that are in New Jerusalem. All right, so the city itself is a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The city is pure gold, like unto clear glass. All right, so the streets and all that, it's pure gold, clear like glass. All right, so you have the glory of God seated in this city here. All right, so you have this crystal city, this celestial city, as sometimes it's called. But then you also have these these adornments here of these precious stones. Now, some see a correlation here with the Old Testament breastplate of the priest as well. I'm not going to take time to mention all that. I haven't written down in my Bible from my study, but there's some indication that there's a comparison here. So we see again Old Testament, New Testament. We can't rebuild the wall that God has broken down Himself. So here's the list. The first was like jasper. Was it jasper? I should say. Some call this the mother pearl, but again, we've already seen in Scripture it's clear like glass. And again, God Himself is seen as jasper. The second is like sapphire. Some suggest this is sky blue. All right, so again, think about these precious gems, these precious stones here. And God's glorious light is shining upon these things. There's no need for the sun. That's how brilliant the light is going to be in New Jerusalem. The third, a chalcedony, pale blue. The fourth, an emerald, green, as we've already seen in Revelation 4. The fifth is a sardonyx, a reddish color. The sixth, sardius, which is a blood red color. The seventh, a chrysolite. Chrysolite, has a cast of yellow or a golden yellow color. The eighth is a beryl, which is a pale green or a bluish green. The ninth is a topaz, a yellow gold color. The tenth is a chrysoprasis, it's a greenish, green agate type of color. The 11th is a jacinth, a purple color. And the 12th is an amethyst, a violet color. All right, so imagine God's glorious light shining on all this. The brilliance of that. You expect me to go to heaven forever and just play harp? And it's like, they have no clue. The Bible says in the Psalms, there are pleasures in God's presence forevermore. This is going to be an amazing place to live forever and ever. Notice the 12 gates were 12 pearls. As I was doing some reading on this, the largest pearl on record, at least at the time when the book that I was reading, was 9.5 inches or so in diameter. So that's one mighty big oyster, huh? Notice, what's interesting is Christ is called the pearl of great price. I think God can create a pearly gate. He doesn't need an oyster, right? The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. So the largest pearl known on earth is no comparison to the pearl. I mean, there's going to be 12 of them there in New Jerusalem. In fact, it's interesting. Notice with me Psalm 87. I think I have the right reference there. Psalm 87. Yes, here we go. Psalm 87, verses 1 through 3. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. Can I remind you again? Oh, yeah, there might be some aspects of that, but it's not been fully fulfilled in earthly Jerusalem. It's only going to be fulfilled. Those things are only going to be fulfilled in the New Jerusalem. And notice the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. An amazing place that God has for us, the bride of Christ. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, so there's no third temple needed. Again, especially if New Jerusalem is coming down into the air before the millennial kingdom. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. No temple is needed. Verse I mentioned earlier, Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord's going to be present. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You think about the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the Lamb also is the light thereof. Saul on the road to Damascus saw a bright light that blinded him. You think about the Mount of Transfiguration. So again, we see that the Lamb and the glory of God is the light of the city. Notice the nations of them which are saved. These are the righteous nations we saw in Matthew 25. Notice the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Again, these are the indications. It's why I say, suggest here that the New Jerusalem actually comes down out of heaven before the millennial kingdom. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. All right, so there's no enemy to fear. The gates will never be shut. No one's going to come in with wicked intentions into this city. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Again, because the gates are never closed. But notice here the glory and honor of the nations, not just Israel. Again, it's very important to see all this. And even as we saw earlier, from all directions of the earth. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise, absolutely in no way, what he's talking about here, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Notice again, it's emphasized what we saw in verse 8. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, there's going to be a passport required. We're going to have to be on a list. We're going to have to be in the book. The Lamb's Book of Life. Notice with me, Galatians chapter 5. This is a similar passage to what we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. To notice something else here. So God is going to protect this city from any corruption whatsoever. That's why I say New Jerusalem has to be separate from heaven, God's throne, because Satan has access to God's throne today. We see that in Job 1 and 2. And so if there's nothing that's going to defile this city, then obviously we see here that God's going to keep everything out of the city. Notice it says here in Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before. Notice this statement. As I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God's going to keep all of this out. Now, I want for us to continue first few verses in chapter 22 of Revelation, because I want you to see here that this is a continued thought here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. As I mentioned earlier, remember the water of life, the river of life flows from God's throne. I believe we see, notice, the throne of God and of the Lamb. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is pictured by this river. The pure river of water of life. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of water. So again, this is a picture of the Holy Spirit's working. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. Notice, a different fruit every month. This is quite a tree. Notice it says, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So you get tired of fruit one month, just wait. Next month there will be a different fruit on it. This is going to be an amazing tree. Notice, again, the tree of life. It's symbolic of eternal life here. It's also symbolic for of the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. It's going to be a joy of serving Jesus forever and ever and ever in this city. Out of this city. It says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, see, there's the mark. Satan always has his counterfeit. His name shall be in their foreheads. We're going to have total allegiance to the Lamb and God the Father. It says, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign, notice, with the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. What? Because he probably was overwhelmed with everything that he saw. Can you imagine all this stuff that this took us months to study. Months. You can be thankful I'm not like one of our former pastors. He took 3.5 years to preach the book of Revelation. So people started joking and says, it was the Great Tribulation. See, at least you didn't have to wait that long to get through to the end of the book. Then saith the end of me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Worship God. He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. I want for us to consider that it's not all about a city. It's all about who is going to be there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, pictured by the river of life. You think about the blessings of that place. The blessings are there because the bride of Christ, the church of the firstborn, is going to be with the Lamb, the bridegroom, forever and ever. What a place. Father, thank you for reminding us of our future as we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, I pray that everyone here truly has been born again, trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and not some religious duty or ritual or whatever they've done. Father, I pray that you'd help us to reflect and remember upon this place, to meditate upon what we have to look forward to. Lord, why would we want anything this world has to offer if we truly understood and our minds fully sought to meditate and understand all that you have for us in your presence forevermore? Face to face, what a moment that's going to be. Help us to be prepared for that day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.